Good morning, everyone. It's good to see you, be with you. I encourage you to pick up a Bible at this time and open to Matthew, the 28th chapter. We're going to read some important words spoken by our Lord Jesus Christ in just a moment. Foundation for really the way we live our lives, what we do when we come together, assemble on the Lord's Day, and how we worship God. We're going to talk about authority this morning. How we just sang the song, how great God is, and He is the awesome creator of the universe, and He has told us exactly how He wants us to live our lives in this Bible, and how to approach Him, and how to worship Him, and we need to take that very seriously. And some of the things we're going to talk about this morning, glad to see you here today, and encourage you to pick up your Bible, follow along, Matthew chapter 28, starting in verse 18. And Jesus came up, and He spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to Me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So after Jesus had died and He resurrected from the dead, and right before He left earth, right before He left His disciples, His apostles, He left them instructions. He told them to go into all the world and make disciples of every nation, of all nations. A disciple is a learner. He is a follower. He is a believer. He is an adherent. And Christ said, teach all the people in the world to believe in Me, to follow Me, to adhere to the things that I teach, learn from Me, and to obey, essentially is what He's saying there. Make disciples, He said, by baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And that's how you make a disciple of Jesus Christ. That's what He said. Go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. When you do that, baptize the believer into Christ, you've made a disciple. And He said, teach them to do all that I have commanded. Everything that He has commanded, He said, teach the people of the world to do. Wow. Who has the audacity to make a claim like that? To make a demand like that? Who in the world could walk around like they were God on earth and make such demands like that? Well, I want you to notice that His apostles didn't say, "Who are you to order us around like that? Who are you to tell the whole world what to do?" Who has the ability to make such demands as that? Well, the only person who ever walked the face of the earth who could honestly say, all authority in heaven and earth have been given to Him. That's the only one who can make a claim like that, demand like that. All authority had been given to Jesus in heaven and earth. How much authority is that? What does that leave out? That excludes nothing. That is all the authority there possibly is. Jesus is all powerful. He is the completely authoritative figure that we have to adhere to. Everything He says that we should do. The word authority that we read in our Bible is the Greek word exousia, E-X-O-U-S-I-A. And it means power. And it means the ability to exercise that power, to govern, to command, to dictate orders to. And I want you to notice some of the things that Jesus did not say. He did not say, I want you to go into all the world and tell everybody to believe in Me. That's all I have to worry about. He didn't say, go into all the world and tell the world to believe in Me and be really good people. He did not say, go into all the world and make disciples and then tell them to choose the church that's the most comfortable to them. They feel the best in. The church of their choice. He didn't say, go into all the world and make disciples of all nations and teach them to do some of the things that I commanded them or to do most of the things that I commanded them. He said, go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to do all that I have commanded. Now, why do we do the things that we do at Prairie Village, Church of Christ, when we come together? Why do we abstain from doing some things that the rest of the religious world do? Do we do that in defiance? Do we behave that way because we just want to be different than everybody else? Do we do the things that we do and not do the things that we don't do because we think we're better than everybody else? No, no, and no to all of those questions. respectively. It's really simple. It's as simple as this. We want with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength to make sure that we're observing all that Jesus commanded people in the world to do. Nothing more and certainly nothing less. We want to do everything that Jesus told us to do. We want to be very careful about that. I want you to think about what Jesus is saying here. It's the last words we have recorded of Jesus in the Gospel of John. These are some of His last words, if not His very last words. So what Jesus is impressing upon His disciples, His apostles here, and us, is that this is a very serious thing I'm saying here. You think about it. If you knew you were dying, you knew the time, the place, do you think you'd choose the last words you were going to say while you were on this earth very carefully? I assure you, Jesus chose His words very carefully, left an impression upon them, and He left an impression upon us right before He went back to His Father in heaven. We do what we do, and we don't what we don't, because we want to make absolute certain that we're striving earnestly to abide within the realm of Christ's authority, within His governance, doing those very things that He dictated, He commanded all people to do. No rebellion here. We don't want to be a rebellious people. That's what people do who resist authority and defy authority. They rebel. They're rebellious people. We don't want to be that way. Individuals must strive to obey God, to obey Jesus' every command, and congregations must do that as well. We must. Christ has supreme, ultimate, absolute authority, and we must endeavor to obey Him. His every command. Now, I want to talk to you a little bit this morning about how we do that on the congregational level. And this is not, I'm not going to be able to exhaust this lesson. It's just too much to cover in one lesson. But I want you to notice right away that when Jesus told His disciples to do these things, He didn't just make a suggestion to them. He just didn't give them orders. He commissioned them. He authorized them to do these things. He gave them the power to speak with His power. He delegated authority to them. When the apostles spoke, when they taught, when they commanded, they did so with the authority of Jesus, with His approval, with His power, with His permission. They were His special delegates. They were His envoys, His ambassadors, if you will. They spoke on His behalf. John 16, verses 12 through 15 says, "I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them." This is Jesus talking to His apostles. "But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all the truth. For He will not speak on His own initiative, but whatever He hears, He will speak. And He will disclose to you what is to come. And He will glorify Me, for He will take of Mine and will disclose it to you." When the apostles were inspired by the Holy Spirit to speak the truth, what they're actually getting, the words they're actually speaking, are the words of Jesus. Jesus said, "I will give Mine to the Spirit, and He will give Mine to you." The words that the apostles spoke were the words of Jesus. That gave Paul the ability to write, the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 14:37, "If anyone thinks he is a prophet or spiritual, let him recognize that the things I write unto you are the Lord's commandment." Paul could say, "I'm writing to you by the authority of God, by the authority of Jesus. When I make a command of you, it's actually Jesus making a command of you." And I want you to notice that this was dictating orders and commands in relation to a congregation. He wrote the things that he was writing to the church at Corinth. Not just individual lives, but what we do as a church. Very important. Some people are of the opinion that you obey Christ. A lot of people, you obey Christ on the personal level, and it doesn't matter really what you do when you come together as a church, who you worship with, as long as you're obeying Him individually. Not so. Be very careful about that. And I want to talk to you about the difference between general commands in the Bible and specific commands in the Bible this morning. That's what I want us to focus on. What about us as a church, as the Prairie Village Church of Christ? Are we obeying the commands of Jesus? Are we obeying the commands of the apostles that Jesus used to dictate His commands to us through? I want to talk to you about these general statements and these specific statements. General commands are commands that allow certain things. They permit certain things. They give freedom. They give leeway. Specific commands are commands that limit. They restrict. They're very exclusive. They exclude. I want to give you an example of that right from our text here today. What did Jesus say? Go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. General command, go. I don't care how you get there. You want to ride a camel? You want to ride a mule? Take a caravan? You want to walk? You want to run? However you want to go. That's a general command. You go. Somehow, some way, you get there. It's general. That does not limit, but permits. That gives you some leeway, some room to work within. You choose how to go. But, he said, make disciples of all nations. In Mark chapter 16, he says, go and teach the gospel to all creation, to every creature. So, while we can go in any means that we want to, they're specific about what it is we're supposed to do. They were supposed to teach the gospel and make Christians, make disciples. Not go preach, teach politics and make Democrats and Republicans. Not go teach philosophy and make philosophers, Stoics and Gnostics and those kind of things. Not go teach economics and make economists out of everyone. Go and teach the gospel and make disciples of Jesus. Very specific. The commission is to speak the truth of God's Word. And that eliminates every other thing that the apostles could possibly teach with Christ's authority in that respect. Some commands specify and they exclude. Some commands generalize and they give freedom. And some do both. Well, what about us? That's what we're going to talk about this morning. Have you noticed, and I'm sure all of you have, because I'm looking at a bunch of members here and no visitors this morning, that we don't have a guitar, or an organ, or a piano, or a trumpet, or a drums. We don't have people up here playing man-made instruments of music when we worship God and we sing to Him. Have you ever noticed that? Certainly you have. Why is that? Is it that because we don't like man-made instruments of music? Well, personally, I know that's not it for me because I absolutely adore the guitar and the banjo and the piano and the organ. I love music in that respect. But the reason why we don't do that is because we're commanded to sing. Colossians chapter 3:16, let the Word of God dwell in you richly, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thanksgiving in your heart to God. Ephesians 5:19 is very similar. It says, singing, making melody in your heart. The commandment is to sing. There's general and specific authority contained within that one command. We're authorized by an inspired apostle who spoke, who wrote with the power of Jesus, with His authority, and He told us to sing. Specific, restricting, exclusive, to the exclusion of all other types of music. What type of music did He tell us to offer to God in worship? Vocal music. That eliminates every other type of music within that category of music. Sing. Don't pluck. Don't strum, don't blow, don't toot, don't tweet. Sing. That's the kind of music, the instruments that God specified, the heart, the voice, the lips, the tongue. Those are the instruments that He made, and those are what we're commanded to use. Now, obviously, this is very restrictive to the elimination of all other types of music. You know why I know that? Because you can look through this whole New Testament, and you'll see that's the only thing people did in the church to worship God when they offered music to Him and singing. Music to Him and worship. All they did was sing. They took that as a very restrictive, exclusive command. That you will find no example of anyone worshiping God in the church with an instrument of music made by man. They knew it was exclusive. They understood that, and we should understand that as well. Now, you'll find general authority in this commandment as well. General authority gives permission. It allows. We can use a songbook to help us sing. A lot of us don't know the words of a lot of these songs. It's okay to use a songbook. We could use an overhead projector, shoot the words right up there on the wall somewhere. We could use a pitch pipe. We could use a tuning fork to help us get the pitch and sing on key. Because when you do these things, you haven't changed the nature of the worship. You haven't changed the actual elements of it. All you've done is make aids, helps, assistance in doing the thing that God commanded us to do. After we have used the songbook, the pitchfork, what have you, to assist us, and we've sang praises to God, all we've done is sing. We haven't added anything. Now, we add a guitar, we add a banjo, we add drums. We've changed the nature of the worship. It makes it different. It makes it unauthorized. It makes it unacceptable. Those things are not aids. We don't need those things to help us sing. They're different. They're different types of music. When we've done that, we've done something different. Do you think that this kind of reasoning sounds ridiculous? Well, we do the exact same thing. We use the exact same kind of reasoning with the Lord's Supper. We have specific, restrictive, limiting authority. Christ took bread, and we know it was unleavened bread because it was during the Passover. And Christ took fruit of the vine, and He said, do this. Eat it. When you eat it, do this in remembrance of me as often as you do it. And when you drink that fruit of the vine, do this. That's a direct command to do these things. Bread and grape juice are specified to the elimination of everything else, to the exclusion of everything else in that category of food. We can't eat pizza and cake and donuts or drink Coke or orange juice or water because He has specified the elements that are to be used. Just like He specified singing, and that eliminates everything else in the category of music, guitar, piano, what have you. While the elements of the Lord's Supper are specified, we also have general authority within the Lord's Supper, the command to take that fruit of the vine and the bread. We can use trays. We can use plates. We can use a table. We can hand it out individually. We can have people come up here and get it. We can use large pieces of bread. We can use smaller pieces of bread. These things are just what some people call expedience. They're assistance. They're aids to help us carry out this act of worship. When we've used a tray or a plate or cups, we haven't changed the elements. We haven't changed the nature of the worship. It's still fruit of the vine, still grape juice, and it's still unleavened bread. If we add water or Pepsi or donuts, we've changed the nature of it. It's the same thing with singing. When we change the guitar, when we've added guitar or we've added a banjo, then we've changed the nature. It's really the exact same kind of reasoning. Most people can see that in the Lord's Supper. I'm talking about most people, even in the denominational world. They won't offer anything other than fruit of the vine or unleavened bread, but they don't see the similarities contained in the command to sing. I really don't see the difference when you understand that how authority works, Christ's authority, specific and general. You still think that kind of reasoning is ridiculous? I'll suggest to you that you use the same kind of reasoning in your day-in, day-out, everyday walk of life. Specific orders, specific commands, restrictive, exclusive. You're hungry. You pick up the phone, you call Papa John. You want a pizza. That sounds good, doesn't it? It's getting pretty close to lunchtime right now. It's kind of making my belly rumble up here. And you order a pizza, a large pizza with sausage and pepperoni and extra cheese. And you can't wait till that thing arrives. And when it arrives, what do you absolutely expect to have on that pizza? Sausage, pepperoni, and extra cheese. If something different arrives, is that what you ordered? You want sausage, pepperoni, extra cheese, and only that to the exclusion of all others. And you don't want sausage and extra cheese. You want everything that you asked for and nothing else. It's the same principle. If you get sausage, pepperoni, and extra cheese, and anchovies, did you get what you asked for? Did you get what you specified? No. Obviously, you didn't. You got something completely different. And it's the same way with the Lord's Supper or with singing. God specified singing. God specified fruit of the vine and bread. He doesn't want anything else in the category of music or food. And we don't want anything else in the category of toppings for our pizza. You send your child to school with orders and with money. You give your child some money and you say, I want you to go buy books. And the child goes and buys the books. But on his way home, he stops at the mall. And he buys some candy, and he buys a new shirt, and he buys some food. And then he comes home, and he gives you your change. Well, he's probably not going to have any change left. But he comes home with a smile on his face. Here are my books. Mom, Dad, I did what you told me to do. Did he do what the parent told him to do? Of course not. He was told to go and buy books, and he did something different. He added things to that. He changed the nature of what it was the parent wanted him to do. He bought the books, yes, but he used the money that was not his to use on other things. Now, does the parent have to say, buy books and only books? Well, wisdom might dictate that you do that with a child, but you don't have to. Did Jesus have to say, use fruit of the vine and only fruit of the vine? Use bread and only bread? Of course not. He didn't have to say, I want you to use fruit of the vine, not Coke, not Pepsi, not water, not camel juice, whatever. Camel's milk. He didn't have to specify, eliminate every other thing. It's the same way with sending your children or your child to buy books for school. You don't have to say, don't buy candy. Don't buy food. Don't buy clothes. Obviously, the child did not obey. That's what it gets down to. It's about obedience. Did the child obey his parent when he came back with something other than was specified? No. Do we obey our Father in heaven when we do things other than the things that are specified? No, we don't. That's not obedience. That's rebellion. General authority gives permission. Specific authority limits and restricts, and we can't go further. What's the difference between adding a man-made instrument of music to worship God and anchovies to your pizza? What's the difference between adding a piano and buying candy with the book money? Really, the only difference in those things is details. The principles are just exactly the same. The details are different. Things were specified. They weren't complied with. And that's just disobedience. That's not obeying everything that Jesus commanded us to obey. Isn't that what He told those apostles when He sent them out? Teach people to obey all the things that I have commanded them to do. Not some. Not many, not most, but all. Now, if you call your wife or your husband up and say, pick me up something to eat for dinner. And, you know, that's wide open there. That's specific. That's just a general category, food. I've told Teresa before when she was providing dinner for us, what do you want to eat? And I say, just surprise me. If she come back with a burnt Spam sandwich on wheat, she absolutely followed orders. To bring me back saying, boy, would that ever be a surprise? Most definitely would be. But the pizza and the books, those things, they're specific. They exclude other things. Now, some have said, and I get this, some have said, you know, that's true, but I wouldn't send the pizza guy to hell for putting anchovies on my pizza. And I wouldn't send my child to hell for buying clothes rather than books. And you know, that's true, but this isn't a lesson about judgment yet. We're getting to that. This is a lesson about how authority works. That's what this is about. And we haven't been given all authority in heaven and in earth. That's not our power that we've been instilled with. That's been given to Jesus. We're not the source of salvation like Jesus is. Jesus is the one who makes these decisions. And while we might not execute punishment with extreme prejudice, you know what Jesus said? He said He will. And we'll talk about that in just a few minutes. Some have pointed out to me when I've tried to talk to them about authority in these types of things, using these examples, they say, yeah, well, you know, where's the authority for a church building? You don't read about a church building in the Bible. Nowhere in the New Testament. There's no authority for that. I'll say, sure there is. You read about the authority for that right here in your New Testament. Absolutely. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 25 tells us to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. We're commanded to assemble together. That's general authority. It's a specific command in there. We are fully expected to come together on a regular basis, but the place, the where, is not specified. So we have some freedom of movement there. We have some judgment that we can use, some discernment we can make. We can meet anywhere. There's no limitation put on that. And as a matter of fact, that's just exactly what the first century apostles, disciples did. They met in each other's homes. They met at the temple. They met at a riverside. They met at a school at Ephesus. The place didn't matter. The building didn't matter. It didn't even matter if there was a building. They met outside by the riverside. We have just as much right to meet and assemble in a building as we do in someone's home or in a park or in a strip mall. Those kind of things just don't matter. Within the commandment to assemble resides the means to appropriate that place to assemble. Plain and simple. An inspired man with Jesus' authority delegated to him told us to assemble. He told us the what? Assemble. He didn't tell us the where. He didn't specify that. He told us the when it comes to taking the Lord's Supper and giving our means on the first day of the week. But even we're not restricted to assembling on the first day of the week. We can come together anytime, anywhere as a church and do other things other than the Lord's Supper and giving of our means. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, it says that Paul and his companions came together on the first day of the week to break bread, a figure of speech for partaking the Lord's Supper. And that's not a command, but that is an approved apostolic example, which we're not really getting into today. But that's an exclusive example. They met together on the first day of the week to partake the Lord's Supper. If that day was specified, what does that eliminate? Which days does that eliminate as a possibility to come together and take the Lord's Supper? All the other days of the week. If the first day of the week is specified, then it's to the exclusion of the second and the third and the fourth and the fifth and the sixth and the seventh. First day of the week. Bread, unleavened bread specified. Fruit of the vine specified. First day of the week specified. Very exclusive commandments there. They met together on the first day of the week to take the Lord's Supper, and we should too. Well, what's the penalty for not observing all the commandments that Jesus made? I'll let Him tell us that. No, we wouldn't send a child to hell for unauthorized candy. We wouldn't send a pizza guy to hell for unauthorized anchovies. We wouldn't do a thing like that. But we're not Jesus. We're not God. What we say are not the commandments of God Almighty. They're not Holy Scripture, so that's not our call anyway. We don't have supreme authority, but Jesus does. And He says, you know what He says? He says, we're going to be judged by these words. John 12, verse 48, He who rejects Me and does not receive My sayings has one who judges him. The word I spoke is what will judge him at the last day. The very commandments that Jesus made and that He gave to His apostles to make to us as well, in this word, are going to judge us. We're going to be judged by these very things we're talking about this morning, whether we obeyed or whether we disobeyed. Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23, at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus had just preached the most marvelous sermon ever preached by anyone that we have recording of. And He told people a lot of things that they need to do and abstain from doing and tried to explain more fully God's ways and what He expects of us. And He said in Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23, as He was wrapping things up, He says, "Not everyone who says to Me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of My Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to Me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did not we prophesy in Your name, in Your name cast out demons, in Your name perform many miracles?' And I will say to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from Me, you who work lawlessness or iniquity.'" You know, these are some religious-minded folks here. These were some folks who were doing some pretty astounding things. They thought they were doing very well. I don't think that they were being disingenuous here. They believed that they were all right. They called Him Lord, Lord. And they did some outstanding things in His name. You know what that phrase, in your name, means? It means by your authority. They were doing some things in His name or by His authority, but obviously they weren't doing all things by His name or in His name or by His authority. What we learn here, among other things, is there are going to be some big surprises on Judgment Day. There will be a lot of people who think they're okay, and they're going to find out on Judgment Day that they're not. I mean, not everyone who thinks he's right in the sight of God is, just because you think it. You think about these people here. They did some pretty amazing things. They had miracles. They performed miracles. They cast out demons and did some awesome things. They were empowered to do these things. But Jesus still said they practiced lawlessness. The word lawlessness really boils down to this: that which is outside of what is authorized. That which is not obeying the law is against the law, not obeying the commands of Christ. It's a violation of law. It's not necessarily evil. It's unauthorized. It's not disbelief. It's disobedience. They went too far and didn't abide in the doctrine of Christ. 2 John chapter 2 and verse 9 warns us of that, about going too far, taking liberties that we're not supposed to take, not abiding within the specific authority that's given to us in the Bible. That's going too far. And then Jesus wrapped it up this way, when He said in verses 24 through 27, "Therefore everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who will build his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came, the winds blew and slammed against that house. And yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and slammed against that house and it fell, and great was its fall." Who was the wise person? The one who hears what Jesus has to say and just does it. Who obeys all that He says. That's the wise person. And I hope that defines us, everyone sitting here. Go ahead and pick up your songbooks. We're going to sing number 613 here in just a moment. A lot of people think lessons like this are just splitting hairs, just arguing over legalities. Article in the bulletin about some people think it's more about being legalistic and not adhering to the spirit of the law. We have to worry more about the letter of the law. You know, this word authority comes from a word that means it is lawful. It is legal. It's all. When Christ made that statement, He's letting us know we need to obey His laws. It's not just the spirit of what He says. It's actually what He says. How do we always determine the spirit of what Christ means? Well, a lot of times we might think we know the spirit, but we can actually know the words. Are the words meaningless? No, they're not. Are the laws meaningless? No, they're not. He put them there for a reason. It's not our job to try to interpret the spirit of it. It's our job to obey. Have you obeyed Christ's commandments on a personal level? We try our very best to do that here, to provide you a place to worship God in spirit and in truth. We try our best to make sure we're abiding by His truth to the letter of the law. Make no apologies about that. What about you personally? Have you been baptized into Christ? Have you repented of your sins? Have you done those things, but you're not living your life the way that Christ wants you to? We could go through that whole Sermon on the Mount and talk about what it is that Christ expects of us, the kind of people that we're supposed to be, meek and humble and righteous, hunger and thirst after that, supposed to treat our husbands and wives well. I mean, there's so many different things that He commanded us to do. Love God with our heart, soul, mind, and strength, right there in that Sermon on the Mount. Are we doing these things? Do we need to make changes in our life? Do that. You can purpose that in your heart right now. You don't even have to get up out of your seat to do that. But if you need our help with these things, to pray for you or pray with you or study with you, anything we can do. We want to help you. So why don't you let your wishes be known while we're standing and singing.